Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 249th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a bi-weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. And this is the final regular interview for New Mainers Speak. After running for 7 years, the show will be closing next time, March 7th, and I hope you'll be able to join me for that retrospective show, remembering the whole experience of it all with clips and songs that have illuminated the way. The interview will be conducted by Anne Hallward of Safe Space Radio, and she'll be interviewing me. And together with you, we will celebrate the completion of this audio project, New Mainers Speak. My guest today is Elise Malongi. She was the very first guest on this show in 2014. Elise is from Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of Congo, and had arrived in Maine during the summer of 2013. She'd been in the country for only 6 months when she actually said yes to coming on the air and speaking in English because she is both a very courageous woman and a dear friend of mine. And now, 7 years later, she is the very last interview I will do for the series, my first and last guest. This is the bookend to the whole 250-part series, and Elise has, in those 7 years, gotten additional education, learned English, raised three very active children, found a full-time job in her field, and has become a citizen of the United States. Thank you for agreeing to step away from the never-ending COVID chaos that is raising three children who go to school on computers in the house while you try to work. You are a very generous friend.
First of all, I'm going to say thank you for having me on your show. I was the first one on your show, and then I'm being the last guest. So this is such an honor. And then you've done a tremendous work. Maybe you changed a lot of lives during this show. So it's kind of sad, but I really appreciate you having me.
It's such a pleasure. I'm kind of sad too, but all good things come to an end. So Elise, let's start just with you. Who were you 7 years ago when you arrived here in the United States, and who do you think you are now?
So yeah, as you mentioned it, see the Elise you knew 7 years ago. So that's not a big change about it, but a lot has changed in my life over this past 7 years. So I'm grateful for everything in my life at the point of getting here where I am today. So even doing this show for me is like a time of reflection for where I came from, to be who I am today, to be the woman I am today, accomplishing so much as I can today. So, yeah, a lot have changed. My status has changed. I got a license. I'm a U.S. citizen. There's so much to mention in this show. So I'm proud of who I am after all the past 7 years.
Oh, it's just been a huge, never-ending, changing story.
Never. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Never-ending.
It's not like you just rest.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it keep on going. I think that's what life is about.
Yeah. Well, you're a person that's not really afraid of taking that on.
No. We have to conquer the fear.
Yes. You do keep fear in check, don't you?
Exactly.
During the first interview, your kids were, I think, 8, 5, and 3, and now they're 15, 12, and 10. Can you describe some of the activities your kids have been enrolled in over the years as you've been trying on new things?
So the first one, she's 16 now. She's going to 17 soon. So my kid has grown a lot. So as you remember, when we came, they were so little, I couldn't have done much with them in my hand all the time. So over the 7 past years, a lot has changed. I learned so much. I like learning. I can learn quietly. I can ask questions. And then I was able to make my own connection. And, you know, we have the internet available for anybody. So you can find any information. So I couldn't have been just a mom who's just sitting home. But because at the time I wasn't working, So I like to be very active. In the meantime, I like to be opening doors for my kid. So I involve my kid in so many sport activities because I think sport is the core of being active. And then being a mom and raising my kid, I won't teach them all. So they have to go out there and then find the real life, what it is about. So sport is one of them. Sport can teach them resilience. Sport can teach them discipline, patience, you know, all these things. So it's one of the things I opted for them. I'm a jumper on all opportunity. So when an opportunity arises for my kids, I'm up for it. Whatever gonna cost me, I'm up for it. I couldn't even enumerate myself. I'm like impressed by everything I've done. So they've been doing lacrosse. I haven't heard about lacrosse being back home. We never done that. So I send them on softball, swimming team, soccer, basketball, you name it. So pretty much all the things you're going to find out there. So I always tell my kid to try it. So that's kind of my philosophy, to try it, because you never know if you don't try it. So everything in life, you have to give it a try. That's why I believe. So that's why you make decision going forward. So if you don't try it, how do you know you don't like it? And then me giving my kid opportunity, so it's for them to find themselves. It's for them to conquer their fear, for them to, you know, to build their confidence. So I think that was a space for me. No matter how busy I am, it's always something I like to incorporate. Driving my kid to all the activities, it just makes me have joy because I'm so devoted to that.
And you just mentioned the sports, but they're also musical and performers.
Music. So they've been doing piano, guitar, violin. So I'm in this nonprofit, they call it 240 String. So I think music too raise your brightness. So it can help you out to learn how to focus. So every time I learn about something and I go through research and find out about what the benefits of it are gonna be. So I'm gonna say the kids don't know what they really want at that age. They don't know. You have to present that to them so they can make a decision maybe going forward. They might not like it, but since I'm kind of a little pushy mom, not in the bad way.
They're going to know a lot about what they like, and they'll know some things about what they don't like, which is important information too.
Exactly. So being here and then having all this opportunity, because I know so many people even they live here, they haven't heard about so many things because maybe they didn't open themselves up. I don't want them to be limited, regardless who they are. I want them to be exploring, you know, and then going forward when they grow up, they'll be able to make decisions. I didn't learn so much sport. I did sport maybe in school when I was young, but I didn't do that much to be structured about myself. Like sport is so good for health, you know, it's so good for her to keep yourself. You know, it has a balance. So for them learning at a young age, I think it's a start point.
Yeah, it'll be like their native language, joining things and participating.
I know. No being like, oh, what is this? You know, because you heard about it, you have tried. No being a stranger in so many areas. Just feeling like you belong everywhere and you can try anything you want.
That's really freeing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they'll probably learn a lot about leadership in the process, watching all these different coaches. Mm-hmm. Work with different kinds of kids and see how they do that.
Yeah, they learn, they learn patience, they learn accountability, they learn the leadership. There's so much you learn. It's so much coming with the package.
And most of all, I think it's about showing up. You know, that's really different than watching
showing
TV.
Up. Yeah, working as a team. It's hard having kids home constantly. Like now with this pandemic, everything is just all over places. It's hard having the kid home and then making them being active. They're just going to arguing with you all the time, being on the TV. It's really hard at this moment being restricted. Like no TV. You have sometimes nothing to offer.
I can't imagine a more challenging time. Dead of winter, not a lot of school in person, and a lot of kids.
Yes.
Who are used to being very active, by the way.
I know.
One thing I love about you, Elise, is that you don't just ask your children to do lots of things and try new things. You also challenge yourself to do these things.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I was, when we talked earlier, you were about to take your first ski lesson, and I'm wondering how you liked skiing.
So I'm all about being a role model and then getting myself into that. So I'm old. I don't have my kid age. I'm not going to be able to process or learn the same thing they're learning. But you just need to have that courage, trying. You never know. Maybe I'm going to find my path, or I'm going to find my joy on something I haven't tried before. So I had my first ski lesson. It was kind of a fun experience. I didn't push my kid doing ski. So my second one, she's an open mind. She like doing things. She like exploring. She's always on the yes, I'm going to try this. So it's easy going with her. But my two other kids, they kind of like, you really have to have argument and then make a point in order for them to do it. Or sometimes just push them. My son didn't like it. The first lesson, I felt so guilty. I'm like, what am I putting my son into? He's not happy. But I'm like, you know what? You really have to conquer your fear. You have to work. You need to work on your confidence. It's fun. Look at those people. They're doing that. You're not different than them. The first time he didn't like it. Oh, my God. Can I show you how happy he is when he's skiing now?
Oh, he's happy now?
Oh, he's happy. And then he always wants more hours staying. And you're just there watching them doing it. And I'm like, okay. If I have to make it like a fun moment for a family, I have to learn in order for me to spend time with them doing that. So I took my first ever lesson. it was something else. Oh my God.
Skiing goes so fast.
Oh my God. I didn't made it so far, but I'm so proud of myself trying it, because I missed one information before being on the track. So which means I had so many layers on my feet, so my feet were so uncomfortable. But I don't think it's something that's going to stop me learning it. I think when I have opportunity, I'll get into it. Maybe I might not go up the hill, but I'll do it. Yeah, it was fun.
Congratulations to you for taking on skiing.
Yeah.
That is really impressive to me. Did you see anybody else that might have been African born there skiing?
Not really.
Not really.
I might see maybe one. So it can be an intimidating word for people who just came from like tropical country. They never heard of snow, and being here, people doing that and then thinking like, oh, I'm not belonging in that world. I can try it. You have to have that courage, you know, of just breaking barriers.
But you've taught your kids how to break the barriers.
So that's why I want my kid to break barriers. I think no limitation for them. I really want them to be feeling okay everywhere they go, to feel okay about themselves and then feeling like they belong, because they are just human beings as other people.
If you had not come to the United States with your three young children, I'm certain that they would not have learned to ski. But
no.
What else? How would their lives have been different growing up in Kinshasa?
So life could have been different from here, because you won't find all the opportunity or the activity they're doing here over there. So I would say back home, you have to have a certain class to do certain things. Like my parents were like maybe middle or maybe high class. So they were also on seeking opportunity for the kids, which means like they will break barriers so the kid can go to private school no matter what's going to cost them, just to give us the opportunity to explore what's going on, you know, in the world or out there. So maybe that's something that came from them. I have that with me. So I would say if I was back home, I have a degree. So I had connection before even getting here. I could have found a good job for my kid to offer them certain things. But it doesn't mean it's going to be the same that they're doing here. The weather is different. Concepts are different. So some people from my country, when they are really stable, they send the kid over here to learn and then just be open-minded and then go back. So I think if I was back home, I would still fight for my kids, for sure, seeking opportunity and what I can offer for them. But it could have been different.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Probably would have had a lot more family around.
Yeah, family around all the time. I miss the social part. I miss my family. That's one of the things over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss the food. I miss the weather. So much.
I'm sure. I miss the weather in Kinshasa, and I've never been there.
But I won't complain about that. We learn over time and get comfortable where you are.
Yeah, that's why you take ski lessons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your daughter, who's 16 and about to turn 17, is practicing driving with her permit. Can you tell us? I know, it's so exciting. Can you tell us about how your family approached driving and how your dad encouraged you to get a license?
So back home, my dad is all about cars. Well, in the past, he's old now. He's not in that point anymore. So it's always about car. I remember being young, putting me in the car, just like giving me the prospect or something, how to learn how to drive. But when I was growing up, to really be honest, it's different from my country. In my country, people don't get really excited when you are 17 and being on the wheel. Things might be moderate and changing right now. Things are getting different. But when I grew up, it wasn't the way. Maybe now it's going. So my dad wanted me to drive. One of the things too, there weren't a lot of women driving back home. My mom doesn't drive till today, to be honest. I don't know, maybe one day if she comes here, she'll be interested in driving, but maybe not because she's old now. So like we say, having role models, I wanted to drive, but in the meantime, I was always, resistant about that. So, because we have a chauffeur, you're going to bring you in school, you're going to pick you up. Growing up, you start doing things with car. Well, yeah, you had a car, but you know that someone's going to drive you. You don't really having a big prospect. That's personally me.
Yeah. Driving. If you have a chauffeur, there's not a lot of need to learn to drive.
Yeah.
But your dad wanted you to, even though you were a girl.
My dad wanted to. My dad really wanted to.
That's sweet. And so when you came here, it really, there was almost no choice. It's hard taking public transportation with three kids. You needed to get your driver's license. How is
there's
that?
There's no way. Like, there's no way for me. I'm really happy at the stage I am because I've done so much with my driving, with my license. So when I came here, I had no choice. I had no choice than just driving because in the past, if I remember, I had time to go over the MPGUI to listen to the first show. It was kind of funny. I laughed to myself. I'm like, oh my God, is that me? So at that moment, I was taking bus. I was very dependent. You have to depend on someone to give you a ride to get somewhere. Yes, depending on people, taking a bus. When the time is like now, we are in winter. Standing on the bus with your kid, that's a nightmare. But driving has given me so much flexibility. Even me being able to drive my kid all over places, discovering men, it's just because I can do it.
Yeah.
It's just because I can drive it. So I really see the necessity of driving.
Yeah, because you've got to go up to the slopes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's driving in me.
So yeah, that has given me so much flexibility, opportunity, save my time, being able to offer my kids what they've been doing since then.
And is your dad proud of you for getting your driver's license too?
Yeah, she's happy. She's happy. She's very happy.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Elise Malongi. She is the very first guest from New Mainers Speak, and she is now the last formal interview of this 250-episode series. And we're looking at her life over the last 7 years, going from being a new arrival from Democratic Republic of Congo to a working single mom raising three gorgeous children in Portland, Maine. One of my favorite days over the last 7 years was attending your naturalization ceremony. And I wondered if you wanted to share any memories from that special day.
That's a special day. It's an emotional day. I can really think, thanks for you guys being there for me. It means a lot. Sharing the support of people in order for you to get where you really need the support. So you really know who believe in you. Yeah. So over those 7 years, my 7 year, I'm a U.S. citizen now. Woohoo! So it's been an exciting moment. It's also been a moment where you really had to make a big decision. So I said to myself, was that really worth it to do it? I think so. It was such a hard decision. I'm happy to be a citizen. In the meantime, I still have Congolese blood running in me. So I took the decision because I'm living here. I might have future plans, maybe, who knows? Maybe retiring and going back to my country, enjoying this, you know, the warm weather, my people and all this thing. So there's always long goals and short goals, but I'm still here. I'm living in this country. I've been given so many opportunities. How can I make it work? So that decision, that's why it came from me to become a U.S. citizen. Maybe one day, who knows? Maybe I will run in a public office. There is a difference. Now I have a voice. I just voted this past month.
You just voted. Yay.
I just voted. So me being just a green card holder, I wouldn't be able to vote. So I just raised my voice by voting. There's a lot of advantage coming with it, which I think it's good for me to have that status, to serve. Can always still be part of my heart. So yeah, that was a big moment.
Yeah. Being a friend of mine, you have been one of the people I go to when I really need help finding a new guest. People ask me all the time, how do you find guests? You have loaned me two of your children, Audrey and Delphia, as guests on New Mainer Speak, and your cousin, Christy, and your friend, Digan Guled, from Djibouti. And you've introduced me to the good people at Portland Community Squash, where you work. And I interviewed Mergeni Alari about that program just last month. So thanks for being my co-producer.
My pleasure. I'm able. I've been a big help, maybe.
You have been a big help. You know, I try to stand on my own 2 feet, but sometimes things fall through at the last minute, and that's when I call you.
Oh. We always need someone.
Yes, we do. And
that's why we are friends for.
That's right. Yeah. That is why we have friends, to share the joys and to help you get guests at the last minute.
Yeah.
Your undergraduate degree from university in Congo is in finance, and you've done what is so difficult for people to do when they move. You found yourself work in your field here. Can you tell us about your position as the finance and facility director of Portland Community Squash?
That's a journey.
A journey?
Yeah. So, as you said, I have a degree in economics, especially in business administration, so which relies with finance. So that's always been my goal, to work in that field. So I'm likely able today to say I'm kind of doing the job I think I've done. So I'm still growing. I need to expand. I still have goals, but I'm there. As we were talking at the beginning, I'm a jumper on opportunities. That's what brought me here. I might have heard about squash in the past. We have squash in Congo, but I never know what squash will look like. Because I would say it's kind of like a limited sport. It's like kind of like a privileged sport. You gotta have some money or status.
I think that's true even in American-born communities.
So my friend Diane, she's the one who made that connection for me. she said, oh, there's a new program here at the Y, and then they're playing squash. So are you interested in the program? I'm like, well,
she already knew you would say yes.
Yeah. Oh, I say yes before even learning what was that about.
Sure, squash. What's squash?
I'm like, I'm going to learn after, but let's just say yes so I don't miss any sports. So, yeah, I said, yeah, why not? So they join, and my executive director today, which is Bernd Tekijen, was the coach at the moment. We already had some coach too, but he was the principal coach. So he's an open person. So he likes talking, he likes socializing. And I do too. So we start talking. I was just being myself, talking with him, talking about my goals, my background, and all these kind of things. Not knowing one day I'll be working at the PCS and being a finance and facility director today. I remember one day I was at the lobby waiting, and then he was walking by, and then we have a chat. So we start talking, not knowing that was the interview.
He just didn't know it was an interview.
I'm like, I'm glad I didn't even stress for my interview. So I was just being me, talking about my goals, just talking like on a regular basis. Like, oh, this is my goal. I'm taking class now. I'm working here now. I want to be this in the future. This is my background. So we went through all this. He was like chill and just listening. One day he called me. He said, you want to work for us? Why don't you come over and then see the place? So this is where my connection started. And then I've been one of the first employees since day one. And I'm sitting there trying to support and give what we can do the best so to see this place growing. It's such an amazing place.
It is an amazing place. And of course, COVID has made it complicated, but you're making it happen.
Yeah,
and it'll still be there on the other side.
Somehow.
Mm-hmm. You're amazing. You're doing the financing and budgeting, bookkeeping and building repairs.
Yes.
That's a lot. Yeah, they're lucky to have you.
Yeah, I'm lucky to be part of that community too.
Can you give us the address of Portland Community Squash?
Squash is located at 66 North Street, Portland, Maine. It used to be an old Jewish synagogue.
Yes. I think people probably know where that might be. Elise, you are a person who is all about taking life up on its opportunities. I wish you and your family the very best of everything that's to come your way as you continue to grow and try on new things. Thank you for being my very first and very last guest with this program.
I'm so excited. That's such an honor, being the first and the last guest. That's such a moment. So I'm very, very, very happy. And then I'm wishing you good things on your new journey.
Thanks. Thank you all for listening. Please join us on March 7th for the final special episode of New Mainers Speak. Also, you can access the whole collection anytime you like at newmainersspeak.com. That will remain in place. Special thanks to WMPG and WERU for running this program for all these years. Elise, as we close today's show, could you please introduce the song you've chosen for us?
So the song I have chosen today is Sûr et Certain. It's a French language, but translating in English, we have sure, we have certain. So it's pretty much the same. It's hope, because I'm always all about hope, you know.
Wonderful. And it's by Mama Lydia from Congo. Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sure and certain.
Yo, likondi ya moto, na moto nanga, bolingwa bolenge nanga, izali se yo. Yo, na mesana nanga kotalela seyo oh. jamais on boit qui ça Botahu nanga Inyangwe zanga Komonana na miso na yo Ata elamba nanga yatalo Ebombi elokote Inyangwe zanga Komonana na miso na yo yo ho yo ho yo ho nazalina yo na banga nini na talela kayo Jamais, 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 jamais. Ah ouais, ah ouais. Oko si manga ilo, koko na ye biye. Oh, oko kati sanga. Jamais, 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 jamais. Ah ouais, ah ouais. Ton amour ne faille. Jamais, 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 jamais. Trahis et tu n'oublies jamais.